Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 790. Sutantuhu, Sutantu. You may wonder, well, what's all that about? It's certainly not a very common or easily understandable name. The prefix su gives the idea of something very good, just like we have in Bhagavad Gita, sukritinaha, those which means a person who performs sukriti, su, good, kriti, actions. So sukritinaha means a pious person. It's a very common prefix, upasarga, it's called in Sanskrit. And tantu is derived from the root tanu, which gives the idea of vistara, spreading, expanding. And the common meanings of tantu, from which actually the fairly well-known term tantra is derived. Common meanings for tantu are thread, cord, wire, string. So it means good string. And you may think, what is that? How is that a name of Vishnu? Okay, please listen further. You may remember Sri Parashara Bhatta is explaining this whole series of names in terms of the Buddha Avatara. With another 20 names after this. So the idea he gives for this name is that he has a powerful, Vishnu has a powerful net of threads, a net to capture the demons, the asuras, so they cannot escape. What does that mean? Well, he describes, Parashara Bhatta describes, or the commentators describe, that Buddha Dev attracts demoniac people with an appearance of tranquility and meditation and philosophy, which to demoniac people sounds very attractive. I must say about myself, although I was definitely have very many demoniac traits, but somehow Buddhism is just never attracted me. I thought it was very strange. Anyway, why should I talk about myself? Why should I talk about myself? So the asuras are caught in this net and they can't get out of it. And it, really, it's a fact. People who get into Buddhism or who are raised as Buddhists, it's very difficult to bring them to Krishna consciousness. As I mentioned about in a previous talk on this Vishnu Sahasranam discussing Buddha and Buddhism, my experience in Thailand, and that seems to be there in Japan and other places where Buddhism is a strong cultural influence. Very difficult to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Very difficult to bring people to Krishna consciousness because they don't have any concept of God, and they're very much fixed in the idea, I'm a Buddhist. And it really dulls any hope of any spiritual intelligence. Now, we may think, why are the demons attracted to meditation and tranquility? That sounds very much in the mode of goodness. That sounds like something a saintly person would do. And yes, generally, that's true. It seems definitely to be more saintly than the Ravana type of demon who goes around abducting people's wives and killing, and the Rakshasas who mess up the rishis, yajnas, just like we find when the real fun in Ram Leela begins. It really begins, well, it begins to begin with Rama's first killing, and he was brought by Vishvamitra to kill the demons who were disturbing the yajnas of Vishvamitra and other rishis. And one of them he didn't kill, Maricha. Yeah, Maricha had to stay alive for some plan of the demigods. Anyway, I'm being diverted. Generally, we think of a demon as being a very nasty kind of character. And we have, in the beginning of this, the description of the demoniac character, we find that in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which Srila Prabhupada has he's titled it The Divine and Demoniac Nature, which is following from the common Sanskrit title of that chapter. But actually, most of the chapter deals with the description of the demoniac nature and not the divine. And the first verse describing the demoniac nature in that chapter is Dambho Darpo Bhimanascha Krodha Parushamevacha Agyana Chabhijatasya Partha Sampadam Asurim. People who are demoniac, Krishna tells Partha, he addresses Arjuna as Partha, reminding Arjuna of his noble background to assure Arjuna that he's not like that. Krishna's not indirectly taking a swipe at Arjuna. Krishna tells Arjuna the prominent characteristics of demoniac people are pride, conceit, arrogance, anger, harsh speech, ignorance. These are the kind of qualities they're born with. And of course, Arjuna, he might have seemed to have sometimes manifest such qualities. Anger. When you're fighting, you have to be angry. As Srila Prabhupada often pointed out, Arjuna wanted to be a saintly person, but Krishna incited him to be violent. Harsh speech. Arjuna certainly used harsh speech against Karna, for instance. Harsh but true. But anyway, we can see the qualities of the demons, and some of them, they're very apparent in the world today. If we talk about, corporatocracy, how people, by their schemes, they become rich, and they don't care about others. So how is it that Buddha Dev attracts the demons by peacefulness and meditation and philosophy? Well, an apparent saintliness. Well, there is a kind of demon who is a saintly demon. What? That's oxymoronic, isn't it? How can you be a saintly demon? But they have the characteristics, or at least the appearances of a sadhu. But then we have to see their philosophy or their understanding or what they promote and propagate in the world. And if we come to that, we'll find in the same chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the description of the demons. One verse, it's almost as if it was specifically aimed at Buddhists. Asatyam apratishtam te jagad ahuranishvaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kama hetukam. Not only Buddhists, but it certainly fits. They say there's no ultimate truth, no ultimate reality, asatyam. There's no ultimate basis to the universe. There's no controller of the universe. And things are just going on because of mutual desire and lust. And what else is there to say? Those who are a little acquainted with Buddhism can understand what else is there to say. Although they have intricate philosophical convolutions to try to explain what they say, ultimately it comes down to, well, there's nothing to say, nothing to do. Anyway. And then another verse we find in the same chapter of Bhagavad Gita, right after that. Pravritiṃ ca janāna vidurā surāha. They don't know what is proper action and improper action. And again, we find the Buddhists. Now, we may say that, well, Lord Buddha came to stop the animal sacrifices, so the people he brought away from the animal sacrifices, they were on the platform of misusing the Vedic injunctions, the pravritti marga, to kill animals. So that's true, Buddha took them away from that, but he didn't teach them the real meaning of nivritti, which is to become detached. To become detached doesn't mean to become detached from following Vedic injunctions or to reject the path of the Vedas. So even though Buddhists may do everything very well and very nicely according to worldly vision, they may be peaceful, quiet, smiling, and then we have the laughing Buddha someone invented, and so on and so on. It's all demoniac because it rejects the Vedas. Veda namanya bodho, hoilonastic, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. The Buddhists are considered atheists, not specifically because they don't believe in any god, which is the common understanding of the term nastic in Indian languages today, but because they reject the path of the Vedas. So this could be discussed much more, but one important point to take from this is that just because someone is apparently nice doesn't necessarily mean that he's saintly. Oh, and anyway, we'll get through to discussing this more. There are many more names to go, but I can say again, yeah, although the Buddhists, they profess non-violence, but the traditional Buddhists in East Asia, where they're mostly East Asia, Southeast Asia, some of the countries, Indochina, traditionally Buddhist stronghold, for instance, and East Asia, much of China. It's all generalizations because communism squashed Buddhism, and Buddhism in China is mixed up with other things. Also, everywhere it's mixed up with other things, in Japan with Shinto and so many things. So, what was I going to say? Yeah, they may be very nice, but the traditional Buddhists, they eat meat. Most of them. Something wrong there. Something wrong. Not following the path of Buddha, actually. So just because someone is not following the path of Buddha, they don't even follow what he said. Ahimsa paramo dharma. Nonviolence is the highest dharma. So anyway, just because someone appears to be nice doesn't necessarily mean that he's saintly. And just because someone is not nice doesn't necessarily mean that he's not saintly. Just like Arjuna, Krishna incited him to be not nice. Arjuna wanted to be a nice guy. I don't want to fight. I don't want to be detached. And Krishna said, get in there and fight. I want to see you drawing blood. Indirectly, Krishna was saying, kill all the enemies. Don't be nice. There's a time for being nice and a time for not being nice. Arjuna became saintly by killing all the enemies on Krishna's order. And if he had not followed Krishna's order and become very peaceful, he would have become demoniac. Of course, there's no question of Arjuna becoming demoniac, but it is said in a hypothetical way, because after all, Arjuna was playing the part of a bewildered conditioned soul. Tanti in Sanskrit and Bengali means a weaver. So we can say that Krishna is a very good weaver. He makes the universe. He makes a net to catch the demons. He makes a net to catch the devotees. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes a net to catch the people who are not really devotees, but at heart they are, because everyone's ultimately a devotee. Of course, a weaver doesn't make nets, but you get the idea. So Krishna is a very good weaver. Generally, here in India, weaving is considered a very low profession. Traditionally, it's been a low caste. It's a Shudra caste. And traditionally, weavers have been quite poor, even though they are often fantastically skillful. Famously or infamously, the British cut off the thumbs of the weavers in Bengal because their weaving was so good that the British mills couldn't match it at all. So Krishna, he also gives that ability, weaving ability, and he is the best weaver. And he's not low class at all. That's a social consideration. Krishna's above all social considerations. So more about nets and traps, the Supreme Lord's traps. When you think about traps, we don't think it's a very nice thing. Rat traps. It's not a very good idea. Rat trap. Actually, talking about Thailand, I did live in Thailand for some time. I lived in an area of Bangkok where there are lots of rats running around in the house. And the rat traps that you get in Thailand, unlike the, at that time, maybe because they're Buddhists, the rat traps at that time were different to the kind of rat traps that you get in the West, which have a spring and execute the rat by breaking their neck. But they have a spring, yes, but they go inside and then the spring, and then they're caught inside a trap made from wire mesh, and they can't get out. And of course, Thais, they eat rats also. Traps, nasty things, poor animals. I think it's illegal in England now, but they used to have traps. It was commonly said for catching, farmers would have them for catching rabbits and foxes and badgers, which were detrimental to the farmers. And what would happen, the animal's foot gets caught in their trap and it's all bleeding, and when they try to get out, it hurts them more, and they're stuck like that usually for hours, because especially foxes and badgers, they come out at night. They may die like that, or they may just go for hours and hours and hours until the farmer comes and kills them some other way, maybe by shooting them. So it's a cruel thing, very cruel. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's trap, I'm going to talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's trap. There's nothing cruel in all the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even Krishna's pastimes, they may have a semblance of cruelty, because Krishna comes vinashayata dushkritam, to destroy the demons. And he does. He literally kills them. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are very, very sweet. The quality of sweetness is very strong. And not that there's anything wrong in Krishna, but appropriate to the age of Kali, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't kill anyone. He was about to in the case of Madhai, but then Nityananda Prabhu restrained Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that was it. There was no more. In the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after that, there was no more even thought of literally, physically killing anyone. So I'm going to read from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Chaitanya Charitamrita. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after accepting sannyas, attracted all the attention of all those who had evaded him, beginning with the logicians. And again, the logicians means the brahmanas who are engaged in deep study, not apparently out and out demons. They're Brahmins, they're following a very religious life and very learned and all this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attracted them by his accepting sannyas. And thus the students, infidels, Pashandi, fruitive workers and critics, all came to surrender under the lotus feet of the Lord. And now I'm going to read the Bengali of the next verse. Aparad komailo dubilo prema jale kiba eraibe prabhur prema mahajale jala. Jal. This word means a trap or a net. Net is the more precise word, and it's often used for a trap also, because often nets are traps, like a fishing net. So Srila Prabhupada's translation is very sweet, and Srila Prabhupada has added his own poetic commentary in the translation. Lord Chaitanya excused them all, and they merged into the ocean of devotional service, for no one can escape the unique, loving network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Sutantu, unique, loving network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another understanding of the name Sutantu is given by Sri Shankaracharya. He who has expanded this universe from himself. In the beginning, Narayana Asit, Eko Narayana Asit. There was only Narayana. And he expanded himself. He is the Upadan Karan and the Nimitta Karan of the universe, the material cause and the how do we translate that? Nimitta Karan, the functional cause. When we say material cause, we don't mean that he's mundane, but he supplies the material for the universe from himself. And he's the Nimitta Karan. He, by his desire, everything comes into being. And the example is given that he beautifully expands himself. He very well expands himself. So Su Tantu, beautifully expanded like the universe. And one example is given that this may fit with some Big Bang idea, if you like, that there may be a small ball of cotton, but you can extend it very long. So it may be just in one place, but then it's extended very long. And that can be made into all kinds of complex tapestry. And of course, the universe is extremely complex, and it all emanates from and by the desire of Bhagawan Sri Narayana Sutantu. Just like thread. There's original thread, and then there are different colors, and it gets woven into intricate tapestry. So in the same way, Krishna weaves this very complex universe, incredibly complex. How is everything all connected? How does it all stay together? What is the connection? What is the connection? What is the ultimate energy that holds it all together? For that, we'll have to turn to Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna himself gives the example of a thread. Mataparataram nanet kinchidasti dananjaya mai sarvamidam protam sutre marnigana eva. Krishna says that there is no truth higher than me, nothing equal to me. Everything is strung upon me, everything rests on me as pearls are strung on a thread. So just like the thread, you don't see the thread in a string of pearls. We call it a string of pearls. We may not see the string at all, but we know it must be there. And of course, a string of pearls or a tapestry is more elaborate than a string of pearls. And far more elaborate is the whole universe. But it's all held together. Everything is... We hear about the laws of physics and the laws of thermodynamics, the laws of science, and they all interact with each other in a most astonishing way. And it's all Krishna. It's Krishna's doing everything. Another aspect of his brilliance in this regard is that all this universe expanding, creating, well, although we say he does it, but actually he does it by delegating it. An expert manager knows how to delegate, and he surrounds himself with competent assistants. So Krishna delegates the task of engineering the universe to Brahma. He gives Brahma the ingredients, he gives him the intelligence to create the universe, and Krishna goes on with his pastimes as if he has nothing to do with it. It doesn't seem like Krishna in Vrindavan, what's he got to do with the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe? Even for that matter, Lord Rama, the majestic and mighty Lord Rama, what's he got to do with the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe? Well, the answer is everything, but then again, nothing, because he's absorbed in his play, his leela with his devotees. He doesn't have to bother about all this. I'm going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, Text 5, when Narada speaks to Brahma, translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Here is the Sanskrita. Atman bhavaya saitani na parabhavayan swayam atma shaktim avashtabhya urna nabhir ivaklamaha. As the spider very easily creates the network of its cobweb and manifests its power of creation without being defeated by others, so also you yourself, by employment of your self-sufficient energy, create without any other's help. Of course, Narada, he didn't see the help at this time. He didn't see the help of Vishnu behind him. Brahma appears to be independent, but he's all going on by the power and desire of Vishnu. But you get the example, again, thread and a network, just like a spider, very easily. For a spider, it's very natural to create some types of spiders. Not all spiders spin webs, but those who spin webs, out of their own body, out of their own energy, they create a web of threads. So in the same way, the Supreme Lord, through the agency of Brahma, creates this whole universe, which also has the ability or the purpose to catch us all as in a net of the illusory energy. Yeah, it's just we get caught just like an insect gets caught in the web of a spider, and they can't understand how to escape. But they can't escape. But the conditioned soul, the net, is not a physical net so much as a metaphysical net or a mental net, and it's so expertly spun that we don't even realize that we're caught and we can't escape. We're caught in the matrix and we can't escape. even if we try to escape. Some people may get an idea to escape, but it's very, very hard to escape. Just like for the insect caught in the web, you've seen the insect caught in the web, and they're struggling and they're struggling and they're struggling. And they can't escape. When the spider wants, the spider's in no hurry. Whenever the spider wants, just comes and gobbles them up. Actually, this material world, there are three threads that tie us up. Tribir gunamaya bhavair. Three threads tie us up. Sattva, rajas, tamas. Tribir gunamaya bhavair. Abhi sarva medang jagat. Mohitang na bijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. Srila Prabhupada translates this, deluded by the three modes. And remember, the word guna can also mean a thread. So tantu, guna, they're synonyms. Of course, guna has other translations also, but here it's very appropriate in this verse. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. So his net is everywhere. The fly is flying around and may get caught in the net. But for us, we're always caught. We may think I'm free, I can go wherever I like, but we're caught and we can't escape however hard we try. It's very difficult to get free from Maya. Very, very difficult, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the very next verse after the one which I just read. This verse is very famous. Daivi hi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Krishna says it's very difficult to get free from my maya, which is, it's overseen by the demigods. It comes from me. It's of a level which is, it's superior to the conditioned soul's intelligence, is inferior to the intelligence which keeps him in material existence. His power is inferior. He's totally overwhelmed. But there is a way out. There is a way out. Mameva ye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite. If we surrender to Krishna, Krishna will free us from this entanglement in material existence. There are so many examples. Stuck in the mud, there's an English saying. You just can't get out. Stuck in the quicksand. It can be very dangerous. You just get sucked in. Seen in an opposite way, here's a very nice explanation by our own Baladev Vidyabhushan. Sutantu means he who has auspicious su qualities, which are like a snare. His qualities and activities attract the minds of people who turn toward him. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the example. We can imagine just like a deer is attracted to the sound of a hunter's flute and becomes trapped. So in this, and the deer becomes killed, but if we turn this rather nasty example around, Baladev Vidyabhushan says, he doesn't say it exactly, I'm extrapolating on it. If we become attracted by the sound of Krishna's flute, the attraction of the all-attractive Krishna, we get caught up in him, and then we're caught. Therefore, we are warned by Srila Rupa Goswami Pada. Very, not exactly comical. It's ironic in a very... Anyway, I'll read it, or recite it. Smeram bhangi traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishting vangshi nyastadara kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena govinda kyam haritanamita Keshi Tirto Pakante Ma Prekshitas Tavayadisake Bandhu Sange Stirangaha. My dear friend, Rupa Goswami warns, my dear friend, if you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, do not look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda as he stands on the bank of the Yamuna at Keshi Ghat, casting sidelong glances. He places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlight. Rupa Goswami warns, don't go to see Krishna if you want to remain in Maya. Don't go to see Krishna. He'll trap you. He'll catch you. So in a roundabout way, he's saying, go to Krishna. Run to Krishna. Get trapped by Krishna. Get out of the trap of Bandhu Sangha, the trap of the association of so-called friends, the attachment to that. Satya Deva Vashishta gives his interpretation based on the meaning to expand for the root tanu vistare. Satya Deva Vashishta says that this beautiful expansion that he does, very beautifully done, very well done, expanding the material world, right up from the time of creation, right up to the time, right from the time of creation, right up to the time of destruction. The different species keep on expanding. There's always expansion is going on. He's talking about breeding. Of course, we see that the numbers of some species decrease. For instance, they say some species are extinct, but Srila Prabhupada didn't accept that. But when some brilliant scientific advisor says that, well, for the good of the elephants, we have to cull 40,000 of them in Africa, and then later on regrets it, but anyway, it's too late by then, isn't it? So the numbers didn't increase at that point in time. So it may be that some species seem to decrease, but basically they're all engaged in expanding. It's an important function of every organic system. They want to increase. And that's going on. That impetus comes from Lord Vishnu, and that's a basic part of his maintenance program of the universe. Another meaning, Sutantu, he has very good progeny. He expands himself into very good progeny, such as Brahma, for instance. Very, very good. Very good expansions. Brahma is the first expansion in the sense of, in this material world, in the sense he appears from the navel of Lord Vishnu. So, good start to the universe. Very, very good, very pious, very devoted Lord Brahma. Then another meaning is that by being born as Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva, Lord Krishna expanded the Yadava family in a very good way, a very auspicious way. This idea will be expanded upon in the next name, Tantu Vardhana. Vardhana literally means to expand or increase. So we'll discuss that in the next name. Krishna willing, Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nitaya chunakam padayane patyakrit vacha kakushatametadaham ravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kurutanura. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukarona vayang vichara yamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.